Madagay, Gimbe, Bidipi, Barre. That means welcome friends to Biripi country, and it is on behalf of the Biripi people who stayed into this land. I would like to pay respect to the elders both past and present, and extend that respect to all listeners of King's Kids.
Hello and welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi, and this week we're continuing with Tony Denison's take on discrimination in the church. Last week, Tony was telling us about John Howard's attempt at reconciliation when he was Prime Minister, and today he has a little bit more to say about that.
I remember when John Howard, he was a friend of mine, don't get me wrong, he was Prime Minister, he was a friend of mine. And he said one day, he said, Tony, he said, I'm asking all Australians to sign the sorry book. He said, are you going to sign the sorry book? So I went up to my pommy wife and I said, are you going to sign the sorry book today, love? She said, I was sorry the day I married you. Anyway, but we was great. She didn't want to sign the sorry book because she was a pommy. Well, anyway, it doesn't matter whether she signed it or didn't sign it. But there's prejudices. You see, most of my children, you know, are fair-skinned. I remember once when my baby brother was born and I came home and I went to the hospital and my old mum was in the hospital and she had the baby beside her and he was white. And I looked at mum and I said, hey, while Dad's out of the room, I said, who owns him? And mum said, your father, of course. But I said, mum, he's white. She said, you was born white too, Tony. She said, you don't start going black until the sun gets on your pigments of your skin. Then you start to go black. So even black babies are born white. I didn't know that. I thought it was a milkman. But our milkman was a Chinaman. He used to come to the mission in a horse and sulky. But anyway, to talk about prejudice, I went to the chemist the other day and I took this beautiful young white girl to the chemist, and I'm not racist. I'm far from racist. I hate everybody. Just kidding, just joking. But I took this girl to the chemist, and the chemist is a friend of mine. He's a Chinaman. He calls me Blackfell. I call him Chinaman. Anyway, he puts his scripts in, and he says to the young girl, he said, I'm going to text you when your scripts are ready to be picked up. And I said, listen here, Chinaman. I said, I've been coming to this chemist for 5 years. You've never sent me a text to come and get me scripts. I said, what, because she's white and pretty, you're going to text her? I said, I'm old and black and you don't want to know me. He said, now listen, black fella. He said, you're in here all the time. I said, you know what, if you wasn't a Chinaman, I said, I might have took offence to that. But you see, you can laugh and joke about it because, you know, he's a good friend of mine. Even though he's a Chinaman, I'm a black fella, we're good mates. I hate it when people come up to me and they say, some of my best friends are black. You know they're prejudiced when they say that. Because they always say it the same way. Like it's the spirit of the Ku Klux Klan inside of them. Some of my best friends are black. And they say things like that, you know straight away. You know, when you look in the mirror, you don't hate yourself. I look in the mirror, I go, ooh, you foxy-looking black fella. Ooh, you good-looking. And you see, you tell me one person out there that looks in the mirror and say, oh, God, you're ugly. Oh, put a paper bag over your head before you go out. We don't do that because you know what? We're all beautiful because God doesn't make junk. And if you want to overcome your prejudice, and we've all got them, even I've got my little quirks and things like that. But you know what? We can be overcomers because Jesus said we are more than conquerors. And you know, we can take our prejudice and we can lay it at the foot of the cross and we can put the blood of Jesus over it. God will take that away. Because the moment you want to give up something, God will take it away. And he'll always replace it with something good. His love, his grace, his mercy, his joy, his peace. And that's what we need to strive for as Christians. If every Christian looked in the mirror, had a good hard look at themselves, we'd get along. If you're in a church today and you got people sitting on one side of the pew and others sitting on the other side of the pew because they don't like those people on that side, I've heard people say to me, you know what they say to me? They say, Pastor, when I get to heaven, I'm going to live on this side of heaven. And you know what I tell people? There's no Catholic section in heaven. There's no Presbyterian, Calathumpians. There's no Pentecostal section. And when people irritate me and says, but some of my best friends are black, even though they're in the church, you know what? I say, God, put me next door to them in heaven. You know, we'll invite all the black fellas around. We'll set up a tent on their front lawn. And, you know, we'll just show them love. Can I, oh, look, I got a million stories about being black. I guess what? I am black. And I remember, oh, mate, I can tell you, I can remember. When I was about 14, I lived in Sydney. And two doors up from me, this white woman lived. And every time I walked past, she would get the Ajax out. Who remembers the old Ajax? She sprinkled it on the footpath, get the broom out, wet it, and then wash it. Now, I don't know whether she actually knew my feet were white underneath and when I walked along the footpath, but I had shoes on, and she just scrubbed the footpath every time I walked past. And when I woke up to what she was doing, some days I'd invite the family over, and we'd all walk up and down the street one at a time just to watch this crazy white lady come out and clean up the street with her Ajax and a broom and a hose. And then she just got too much for it. And then she started hosing me. I'm glad she never put the Ajax on me. I could be Michael Jackson. I could have gloves on and dance and look like Michael Jackson. But you see, people's prejudices, we've all got them. But we've got to be overcomers. I've been in shops and people, they avoid you. They'll serve other people around you, but they won't serve you. I went to a church recently, and I stood there like a spare best man at a wedding, waiting to get prayed for. The pastor kept sidestepping me. I thought I had AIDS. I thought I had something. I needed prayer. Lucky I needed prayer because I wasn't moving, and somebody else came out of the congregation and prayed for me. I keep telling my grandkids the black don't come off when I kiss them. And my grandkids love me because they're all little whiteys. And they just love Poppy. And Poppy loves them. I love everybody. I don't care what they're into. I don't care whether you're gay, whether you're homosexual. I just won't drop my wallet in front of you and bend over and pick it up. I'll back up to the wall and pick it up. But I still love you, even though I don't love what you're doing. You know, it doesn't matter to me who you are, whether you're a skinhead, whether you're a bikie, who you are, I love you because God loves you. And because He loves you, I can love you because I've experienced His love firsthand. Years ago, I ran for Parliament, and I went to Sydney to do a speech, a pre-selection speech for the Liberal Party of New South Wales. And I was having it at the Sydney University out of Glebe, and I was as nervous as a long-tailed cat in a room full of rocking chairs, and I thought, well, I'm going to practice my speech. And when you know this old black fellow, I don't write anything down. It just comes to me as I open my mouth. The words just fall out. It's the same when I'm preaching, the same when I'm making speeches, the same when I do anything. Because I've come to a point in my life where I know that I can't do anything without God. And so I rely on God for everything, especially when I'm sharing from the pulpit, whether I'm sharing in a church or sharing in somebody's home. And I treated the Liberal Party pre-selection no differently. I went down to the park at Glebe, and it was near the coroner's court. Anyway, never gave it a thought. And here I am, a black fella in a flash suit, $800 suit. I didn't even get that one from Vinnie's. I actually got it from a really pretty flash door. Anyway, I'm walking around the park praying to myself, praying, asking God to be with me. And I noticed this black Mariah. Well, if you don't know what a black Mariah is, it's a police paddy wagon. There, you know, it's the same as the slang for prison, Sandstone College. Anyway, this black Mariah was circling around me like a white pointer shark. And every time I kept walking, I kept noticing these coppers looking at me. Anyway, two police officers got out of the car and came over to me. And this bloke looked me up and down in the seat and he said, excuse me, sir. He said, can I help you? And I said, no, why? He said, oh, you look lost. And I said, why do I look lost? He said, well, the coroner's court's over there. He said, it's about 500 yards up the road. And he said, I thought you needed help with getting there. And I said, mate, just because I'm black and wearing a suit don't mean I'm going to court. You know, I said, I know you don't see many black fellas in a suit, but I said, no, I'm actually not going to court. And I said, I thank you, officers, for your concern. And I said, I noticed you were circling me like a white pointer, and I know I'm pretty chubby. It looked like a big feed for a white pointer, but I said, you fellas were circling me. I said, I just said to the Lord, I said, how long before these fellas come over here and want to help me, because I was black, and want to come and help me. Anyway, so I blessed them and thanked them for their concern, and I assured them that I wasn't going to court, and I weren't about to murder anybody or rob a bank while I was waiting. But anyway, I went off, and I went to the pre-selection. The prejudice even there at the pre-selection was unbelievable. You know, there was 30 contestants trying to get a place on the ticket for the upper house, and there was only 8 vacancies. And I tell you what, she was cutthroat. But you know what? I was probably the only one in the room that wasn't bothered, because I just put my trust in God. If I got on, it was God's business. If I didn't, it was still God's business. He's still on the throne. But that's what you got to be like when you're dealing with people that are prejudiced. You can't let it bother you. You just can't let it bother you at all. You just got to trust God. You really got to put your focus on God, because you're going to get people being prejudiced or everywhere you go, no matter what you do or where you go. People are always prejudiced. And it's because it's the way they're brought up. You know, little kids aren't prejudiced. You see, we weren't allowed to go to school with white kids when I was growing up. We had white teachers. And, you know, one of them actually lived on the mission, him and his family. And we had a white manager live on the mission. But apart from that, we really didn't see white people unless they came down on tourist buses. And it was always fun for the tourists to come to bring buses down to the mission to see the Aboriginal kids. And it was no different. People would remember Cole Joy the singer and Little Paddy. They actually came to the mission and put on a concert for us. When they just finished their concert, I remember a tourist bus pulled up and they all wanted to get their photo taken with black kids. And, you know, they was looking for kids with runny noses and no shoes on and stuff like that, because that was the typical image of black people. You see, I married a Pommy, her family never met me, and her sister and her family never came to the wedding. Her brother did, and we went down to visit. We went down to visit them for Easter after we got married. And I remember pulling up in the driveway, and I saw the curtain come apart, and they was looking out. And one of the kids said to the mother, they said, "He's not a real black fella. He's wearing clothes." And when we got inside, they asked me, was I black all over? And, you know, was I black everywhere? And they had all these questions about black fellas and do I eat people and things like that. And, you know, people just don't understand. I got to tell you a funny story. Once when we had billets, our kids were in the Christian school, and I'd been away working, and I got home early, about 2 hours early, and I was just sitting in the lounge room watching a bit of telly unwinding, and the wife came through the door. She'd been to the school and picked up these two white kids for to be billets. Anyway, this first kid came through the door and he saw me sitting on the lounge, because when my wife went to pick him up, she's a Pommy, she's white, and the kids were white and, you know, like fairly fair skinned, except for Jesse was a little suntanned. The one kid was like little Fat Albert. I mean, he fitted Fat Albert to a T. Anyway, he came through the door, and the coffee table was in the middle of the room, and he came through the room, and he saw me sitting there, an Aboriginal, and his mouth dropped, and he was staring at me, and he fell over the coffee table. The other little kid came in behind him, and he saw me, his mouth fell open, and he fell over the coffee table on top of the fat kid. And I jumped up, and I said, "Oh, Mandy, oh, my gosh, they're white." And she just looked at me, and it just broke the tension and the ice. And that night we had a barbecue, and we had pork sausages and that. And this little fat kid like Albert, I said, "Are you hungry, son?" He said, "Oh, not really." He said, "What have you got there?" I said, "Oh, we got white fella sausages." He said, "What do you mean white fella sausages?" I said, "Well, that's the last billets we had." I said, "They wouldn't do as I told them, so I cut them up, made sausages out of them." And I said, "You know what, if you don't eat them," I said, "you're going to finish up like the last billet." Well, that fat kid, he shoved four sausages in his mouth, and I don't think he put a tooth mark in any of them. He just swallowed them down. Anyway, after dinner, I took them for a drive out under the stock route, and I did a bit of reshooting while I was out there. Anyway, someone reported me, or heard gunshots or something. I don't know. They might have been chasing stolen cars or something, but the police come. Anyway, so we went through the river, because you couldn't go across the stock route bridge. It was blocked. And I just drove down through the river. Anyway, these guys were talking to their mum later. They said, "Hey, Mum, we're staying at this black fella's house. And he took us for a drive, and the police chased us." And they were so excited that the cops chased us. And, you know, it goes hand in hand when you say black fella and police, they sort of go together. I mean, I play golf. And I haven't got a prejudice bone in my body. And I'll come out on the golf course and say something like, "I heard a screamer the other day, I hit this ball, and it was a downhill slope, and the ground was pretty hard, and the ball hit the ground, and it took off." And this white fella said to me, he said, "Gee, look at that ball run." I said, "Just like a black kid running away from the coppers. Look at that thing go." And, you know, like, I was playing golf with this bloke, Maury, once, and every time he lost his ball, I'd find it. And I said to him, "Well, you know why you Kiwis like playing golf with me?" He said, "Why is that?" I said, "Because I'm the black sheep of the family." But you know what? God is so good. It doesn't matter what colour we are. It doesn't matter whether we're black, white, brindle, whether we got red hair, purple hair, whatever. You know, God loves us. And I can't stress that point enough to you who listen to the radio today. God loves you just as you are. You don't have to clean yourself up for God. You don't have to say, "Well, I'll come to God when I stop swearing. I'll come to God when I stop drinking. I'll come to God when I stop taking drugs." God wants you just as you are. Because only God can change you. Only God can take away all the rubbish out of your life and fill it with good things. His love, His grace, His mercy. God really loves you. I can't tell you that enough. We'll be right back.
People look at me, I want them to see him. I want to have his character totally within. If I could only be a little more like him, then I could hide my ugliness underneath his wings. Lord, won't you wash me in your purity? Then I can cry out,
When People Look at Me from Michelle Gibson, and earlier we heard DC Talk with Coloured People. Tony has shown us a light-hearted side of discrimination, but we shouldn't forget that sometimes things we say in jest can be offensive and hurtful to somebody else. You can hear today's program again by going to kingskidsministries.org and clicking the listen button. All the episodes of King's Kids are listed and available to either download or stream. Tony is also open to you ringing him, and his phone number is 0427 839 474. That's 0427 839 474. Here at King's Kids, we enjoy your company each week and look forward to seeing you again next week at the same time. I'm Heidi, and thanks for listening. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rema FM, Port Macquarie.